Welcome to our annual Thanksgiving Vesper service. This is always a favorite service of mine where we can gather and somewhat informally and worship our Lord and then give thanks for all the good things that He has given to us over the past year. So welcome, and especially if you are a visitor tonight or your family member perhaps or both, and you come to join us this evening, we are glad that you are here. We'll begin our service with a call to worship, which is from Psalm 100. I'll read the light print, and you can respond with the dark print. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. Let's take the hymnal around you or in front of you and turn to number 715. Come, ye thankful people, come. And let's stand as we sing together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your church and all the times that we have the privilege to worship You, including this evening, Lord, as we gather on the eve of Thanksgiving Day. We pray that our hearts would be full of thanksgiving and that, Lord, You would remind us and make us mindful throughout the year of all those reasons and all those things that we should give You thanks for. And so, Lord, we ask humbly You would invoke Your blessing upon this worship service. We pray that You would be exalted by it and that, Lord, we would benefit from it so that when we leave this place, we could say, truly, we worship a great and awesome God who's made himself known in the person and work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, bless our service this evening, we pray now. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. And you'll see a litany of thanksgiving in front of you there. And once again, I'll read the light print and you respond with the dark print. Let us give thanks to the Lord, our rock, our fortress, and our deliverer. Let us remember his mercy, for he is gracious and compassionate. We thank you, Lord, for extending your grace to us, for calling us to life of gratitude, for calling us to service in your kingdom. Let us give thanks to the Lord, for he satisfies the thirsty. He fills the hungry with good things, and he heals the afflicted. Let us celebrate his abundant goodness. We praise you for all your gifts that go beyond our basic needs, for the joy we experience in community, for the comfort we receive from one another during times of sorrow, for the beauty and pleasure that you bring into our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good evening. If you have a Bible or a phone, but if you have one, you can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, where we will be looking and considering the first six verses for a short meditation or devotional this evening. Before I begin, let's open with prayer. Father in heaven, our great God and King, who has given us all things, not only spiritual, but material. For you are the God of all creation. You have made body and soul, earth, the world, and you called it good. So we thank you for that, Father. And we thank you that you are making all things new in Christ Jesus our Lord, even us. And I pray that during this short meditation and devotional sermon, that you would feed us and nourish us and make us new through the preaching of your holy word. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Over Thanksgiving, as many of you I'm sure have experienced, we often completely ignore gratitude. It's very easy to do, especially if you're the one making all the food. Okay, we just get stressed out about the cleaning of the home, the making of the food, and we forget to look around and appreciate the good things that God has given us. We don't deserve any turkey tomorrow, or whatever meat you're making, because turkey's just not that good, let's face it. We don't deserve any of that. And yet, I know that all of you, most likely, I hope, and if not, call me, will graciously be given abundance. An abundance of food. Now, that's a good thing. And God wants us to have that abundance. And if it is set apart, as we see in this text, by the word of God in prayer, with hearts thankful for God's provision, then God is pleased and angels are singing. And so what we will see tonight is this, that gratitude for not only spiritual things, but also God's earthly blessings will cause you to have the joy that God created his people to have. And so with that, let's read God's holy word from 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 6. Hear the word of the living God. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. In pointing out these things to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the good doctrine which you have been following. Amen. There's a few questions that our text answers, and that's kind of how our little short outline will go this evening. The first is what we should be grateful for. We'll see what we should be grateful for. Why should we be grateful? And what does gratitude and the exhortation of others to have gratitude, what does that result in? So those are our questions this evening for us. So let's first consider what we should be grateful for, particularly in the first few verses of our text here. And the first thing is, be grateful for real faith, if you have it. Be grateful for real saving faith. Notice that the apostle says that in the time we are living in, called the latter days, and by the way, just as an aside, that seems to refer to in Paul's theology as a time between the ascension of Christ and his return. So we are in the latter days, and we have been for a long time, though there are times that foreshadow the end and in a way much clearer than other times, like the destruction of Jerusalem or things like this, some kind of major end times events. But Paul says, in the days that we live, the latter times, many will fall away from the faith. And if you've been a Christian longer than a day or a week, maybe, you've seen that. Maybe some of your friends, your family members, and it is a very sad, sad thing. This happens. And so, Christian, be grateful for your faith. Be grateful for your faith. This Thanksgiving, I exhort all of us to be thankful for the faith that Christ has given us. It was completely, as you know, unmerited. Completely unmerited. It was completely undeserved. The gospel came to us with great power and conviction by the Holy Spirit. We love him because he first loved us, as the scriptures say. We believe not because we were smarter or greater or godlier or wiser than others who don't believe, but simply because God wrought within us by his grace an acceptance, a reception, and a rest of Christ and all of his benefits. And the Lord sustains his people in faith. Be thankful for that. Not only does he give faith, but as Paul says, begun by the Spirit, to the Galatians, if you've begun by the Spirit, why do you think you're going to finish by the flesh? You're not. God sustains us by his Spirit as well. And so we should be grateful for this. You see, those who left us were never really truly of us, as it says elsewhere as well, as 1 John says. So without us being quickened or brought to life, and without God preserving us in this faith, what in the world would you be? I know what I would be. I saw it. It wasn't very nice. It wasn't very, very lovely. It was hideous. Don't imagine anything there. Just pass over that. What would you be without faith? What would you be without faith? Hideous. Something not lovely. Well, explicitly, you would be the alternative that Paul talks about here, which is stated here in this text. You would accept the teaching of demons to some degree. That could be many things. But one thing this leads to, especially for those who walk away from the Orthodox faith, the term being apostates, people who are once professing Christians but now are not, especially for those who walk away from biblical Christianity, it could look like abstaining from certain things that God has made in a superstitious type of way in order to look godly. And Paul says it clearly, says it clearly here, but also in Colossians 2. This may help us. 2:23, starting in verse 20. Excuse me. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do you not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that shall all perish as they are used according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Paul is saying a very similar thing here in our text. Notice we often think that when we think of the teaching of demons, right? We think of some sort of Las Vegas Saturday night with the boys, you know, some crazy bachelor party. And Paul talks about that elsewhere, drunken parties and orgies and whatnot. He talks about that very clearly. But here, he's talking about something we often don't think about. It's also the teaching of demons is calling good evil and evil good. It includes calling marriage evil, sex in marriage evil. It includes calling certain foods evil that God has given to us, or any sort of abundance or material items that you have that you don't need evil. It includes that. That's the teaching of demons as well. Very interesting. We don't often think about this. Even marriage. You see, the teaching of demons here in this text is they said marriage bad. Right? They forbid marriage. It's demonic to withhold wholesome fun. In other words, wholesome joy, good blessings of this life that God gave us, like meals between believers, marriage. As a quick aside, which may be useful, so many young people in America think that marriage equals no sex. That is not true whatsoever. Interesting statistic, and this is a good one. Do you know the demographic that has the most sex in America? Do you know? I wonder. Well, and there's a good statistic. Some of them aren't good. It's not a phony one. The demographic that has the most sex statistically in America are heterosexual married religious couples. Interesting. So apparently, marriage doesn't mean no fun. It means lots of fun, given by God to be thankful for. Therefore, be grateful for the freedom that true saving faith brings. Marriage, food, wine, abundance, affluence, or even the blessing that can come in times where you lack abundance. There's a blessing in a time when you lack abundance even, which is sometimes hard to see at first, but then God shows you. And be grateful for the fact that faith keeps you from buying into the alternative, the teaching of demons, as he speaks of, which causes unnecessary restraint, slavery, in other words. For some, this looks like those Christians that seek to be more like Christ than Christ, as one pastor put it. Don't seek to be more Christ-like than Christ. That wouldn't be good. Another question this text answers for us quickly is why should we be grateful? In verses 4 and 5, look at this. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. So you see, the issue is some think we need to favor the spiritual over the human earthly things or things that are material. You've heard the critique, most likely, that some Christians are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. Don't be that. And sometimes it's a valid critique. Don't do that. But also, some Christians think that what's in their heads and their spiritual life, that's godly. But anything material or earthly, by definition, is not godly or good. That's bad theology. That is unbiblical. This is a misinterpretation of the creation account. and of Jesus' teaching. All things God created are good. C.S. Lewis, interestingly, and I think rightly, stated that the new heavens and the new earth, which all believers look forward to, will be more earthly, more weighty, more durable, more material. Colors will be more vibrant. Tables will be more dense. Clothes will be more durable. The new heavens and new earth won't be a ghostly existence where we're floating, whatever that looks like, floating around like a spirit of some sort. There is an intermediate state in which our souls are with Christ. And I don't know what that will look like. But once Christ returns, our bodies will be reunited with our souls, and we will be in a material world. Don't think of the song. I shouldn't have said it that way. Why did I say that? With this being said, God's creation, my friends, is good. It is good. Read Ecclesiastes. It says this in 9:7 through 9. Go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments be always white. Let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your life. That is a myth or vapor. It's a better translation. That's my translation. Other than vanity. A mist or a vapor that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. So then, my friends, do not take for granted God's blessings, even earthly blessings. God made all things, body and soul, all the world, all the universe, and it is good. Nor should you push them to the side, thinking that somehow you will be more godly if you reject God's blessings. That would be wrong as well. Live the good life, full of joy and thanksgiving for all that God has done and all that he has given to you. And now, lastly, what does gratitude and exhorting others to have gratitude, what does that result in? We see that in verse 6. Notice, well, Paul says to Timothy, in pointing out these things to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the good doctrine which you have been following. And so, first, this assures you of your salvation by making it clear to you that you are a good servant of Christ Jesus, even with your imperfections. It nourishes you. This is what gratitude does. It nourishes you. And also, when you exhort others to be full of thankfulness, that nourishes you as well. Open your mouth, as the psalmist says. Open your mouth and God will feed you. And so, my friends, open your hearts and see what good things God has done and is doing for you in your life. Even in the midst of your sinfulness. Even if you've been a Christian for longer than 2 weeks, maybe, not a day like the other, maybe 3 weeks, maybe a month, then you've probably been through a period of backsliding to some degree. You may have noticed, even in the midst of that period of backsliding, God continues to pour out his grace upon you. You may have punishment, discipline from the Lord, but his mercies are new every morning. And you notice that even in the midst of that time, even in the midst of your sufferings, even in the midst of your sadness due to some life circumstances, be thankful to God who's making all things new and is causing you to one day live the perfect life of abundance with him in eternity, with his Son and the Holy Spirit, in the true land that flows with milk and honey, where the Lord Jesus will feed all of us sweet manna at the marriage supper of the Lamb. A day we all should look forward to in the new heavens and the new earth. And so, my friends, let's pray with hearts of thanksgiving. Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us, how you have made us, created us from our mother's womb. And we thank you for the life that you have given each and every one of us. And I pray as now we turn to sing more praises to our great God and King, and the triune God of the Scripture who lives I pray that you would fill us with even more thanksgiving. And as we share with one another our hearts and reasons that we are thankful, I pray that you would accept them as a pleasing aroma, that they would smell so good to you, and that the angels all around the throne of Christ in the heavenlies would rejoice at the thanksgiving that you have wrought within our souls. And so we pray, Lord, these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, let's stand together before our time of sharing and sing hymn 604 with hearts full of thanksgiving, of course. And you may be seated. Now we have a time of thanksgiving, a time of sharing of all the good things that God has done for us, other than the breaking of my glasses. But I will be thankful that He has given me new glasses this year because of insurance. Anyway, it's good to see them.